All right, so we're going to have an abbreviated message this morning. The first thing I want to do is to clarify that the title of this message does not relate to what just happened. When disaster strikes, it has nothing to do with Mike being appointed an elder, but rather these words of Jesus we're going to be looking at here from Luke chapter 13. It continues our series in what we're calling the hard sayings of Jesus, because these are particular words of Christ that were especially challenging or perplexing. And what we're doing is zooming in to see what they mean and how they have special application to us today. And this particular passage is about a falling tower, about some really almost terrorist-like activity that happened in his time, but it has lots of parallel application to us today. So we'll hear from the Lord through His Word here. But before I even read that passage, I'd like to ask God again for special help as we look at this passage together. Lord, we thank You for Your living Word. We praise You for Your Spirit who gives us understanding to what it means and how it connects to our lives and how You transform us and refresh us, challenge us, help us, convict us, and heal us through Your Word. So this morning we pray You would do those things, Lord, and we invite Your help. We desperately need Your help this morning. We pray that You would work through Your truth. Amen. This is Luke, just five verses this morning in this passage. And it's the first five verses of Luke chapter 13. There were some present at that very time who told him, Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that's our passage. So hard words of Jesus. In other places, we see Jesus expressing compassion. We see Him weeping over suffering. But in this particular scenario, He's addressing a mindset that was common at His time and that is often common today as well. And at the time then, people had this association with disaster and apparent guilt. This is relevant today because we have things happen all the time that we could easily think the same way towards. So just 3 weeks ago, we remembered September 11th, 2001. It was even a Monday again 3 weeks ago when we remembered the terrorist attack that took place, which was the worst in American history, where buildings were smashed into by planes and there were other attacks, many lives lost in that one day. Some people were able to escape the burning buildings before they collapsed, but many did not. And around 3,000 people lost their lives due to the attacks that day. Then more recently, we have experienced one hurricane or flood after another. Hurricane Harvey in Houston happened a few weeks ago, and that was one of the most expensive disasters in American history, natural disasters, and there was a loss of life, untold damage to property. But then it wasn't long after that that we were hearing about this next hurricane coming, Hurricane Irma. And even though it turned out that wasn't as bad as it could have been in hitting Florida so powerfully, the damage was still severe. And then, of course, soon after that, it was Hurricane Maria devastating the American territory of Puerto Rico with loss of life, damage that even to this day is still being dealt with, and they're having tremendous challenges in recovering and giving the aid needed. So one thing after another, and if we expand our scope to the whole world, then it's not hardly a day that goes by without some kind of terrorist attack or disaster of one kind or another. But in addition to all of these large-scale disasters and attacks, there are also countless small-scale ones, personal calamities. And those feel just as real to the people involved as these huge ones that get on the headlines. Just a couple weeks ago, there was a very serious accident on Kansas Highway 7, and a fatality was involved. Traffic backed up for miles, and where that accident took place was about 2 minutes away from our house on a part of the highway that we drive on all the time. And there was one reckless driver who ended up endangering lives of others. Very easily, my family could have been in that accident. And by the grace of God, we were not there at that moment. But so easily, that could have happened, and it's closer to home. So, clearly, we live in a world of danger and uncertainty where disaster could strike at any moment. So what are people who trust in God, the God who rules over the whole world, to make of all this? Well, in Jesus' time, there are those who assumed that people who died an untimely death must simply have it coming to them. They must be people who were especially sinful, and God knew it, and so he punished them through an early demise. And that's the mindset Jesus was addressing, but he countered that view. What did Jesus teach instead? Like I mentioned, this is an abbreviated message, so I only have two main points instead of three today. We're going to unpack what Jesus said. He taught, here's the summary, Jesus taught that in this broken world, the strike of disaster is unpredictable. But the call that we need through it is consistent. And that is to be prepared to stand before God. So let's briefly unpack this. So what did Jesus teach instead of the prevailing mindset? We'll focus on two things. First of all, that in a broken world, the consequences of sin are never evenly distributed. Since the fall of man and rebellion against God, the effects of man's rebellion have been released into the world. It's like a cancer has swept through creation. But in this fallen world, the consequences of sin will never be even or proportionate to each individual. There can be times when God directly punishes evil by bringing consequences in this life or through bringing someone's life to an early end. And we read about some of those in the Bible. We recently finished a series on Acts, and there's an episode we didn't give a message to where King Herod is exalting himself, and it says basically he's struck down because he did not give the glory to God. His life ends like that. So that can happen, but without God's word directly explaining that's what's going on, we should never assume that's the case. Instead, we should recognize that since the fall of Adam into rebellion against God, the world has been broken. And until eternity dawns, the consequences of sin will never be evenly or proportionately distributed. It's like when cancer attacks one system of the body and all other areas of the body are affected in various ways, even if they're not the specific body system that was attacked. So what that means is that some God-fearing, kind, and caring people will die young. And some wicked people will live to a ripe old age. Some godly people will suffer sickness or poverty to a unique degree. And some especially evil people will be wealthy and healthy throughout their lives. Conclusively, this life is not the destination for final justice. So that's main point number one. Now, there are spectacular benefits to obeying God in this life, and there are consequences in this life to living independently from Him. But the greatest of both of these will come in eternity rather than in this ever so short life. Now, that brings us to the second main point that Jesus really brings out in these words. So first is that in the broken world, the consequences of sin are never evenly distributed. But secondly, calamities are a call to repentance. Jesus repeats this phrase twice, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Now, repentance is turning from sin and self to God. And Jesus teaches here that disasters or tragedies are a call to repentance. They're meant to be a wake-up call to the world. And by repentance, I don't necessarily mean confessing a specific sin and asking God's forgiveness and turning from that. You know, if God intends a particular trial to convict someone of a particular sin, He can show that, He can reveal that. Can make it clear to you and give you the grace to respond as you should if He's really targeting an area of your life that needs discipline. But more generally, related to what Jesus is saying here, we are constantly needing to turn our focus away from ourselves and our short-sightedness to God and His truth. Disasters are always meant to freshly turn us to truth. So for both people who know God and those who don't, disasters or injustices are a call. A call to turn from self to God and to be prepared for the final judgment. We do not know why some people's lives end earlier than others, but we do know that when it happens, God is always graciously repeating an urgent question. Are you ready for your life to end? Are you ready for your life to end? So both disasters and accidents are always meant to be a reminder of unseen realities that we like to turn away from or stuff down, but are true nonetheless. Realities like we don't know the future. We can't outwit or outplan or outmerit the fallenness of the world. And we could die at any moment. Those who've not called on Jesus to rescue them, to save them, need to realize the end is coming. And if they need to stand before God based on their own record in life, there's no hope. But Jesus is the hope. He offers us His record in place of our own. So God is graciously calling the world again and again to wake up through these things that are happening. But it's not just those who don't know God who need these reminders. Christians also need to be reminded of these same things, that you don't know the future. You can't outplan or outsmart or be good enough to avoid the fallenness of this world. And you also could die at any moment. Why do you need to be reminded of that? It's so that you can live each day and every moment in a way that counts for eternity, in a way that you don't need to regret. So do Jesus' words mean that we should always live in fear of a possible disaster? Or that maybe we might not stand before God's judgment in the end? No, actually, His words are actually supposed to have the opposite effect. Because those who've turned from their independence and from their own works to save them can live above fear. If you've received God's free gift of a perfect record in Christ, then you are ready to stand before Him without being condemned. So because of Christ's work for us, these words of warning can actually be a call to take hold of true life. A call to take hold of true life. We don't know when the next hurricane or wildfire or tornado or flood or terrorist attack or car accident or cancer will strike. We don't know when the next bridge will collapse or the next tower will fall. But we do know this. Jesus was crushed under a much greater weight, from a much greater fall in our place. And unlike all the tragedies or disasters that we face, he suffered that one by his own choice. So Jesus suffered the ultimate disaster in your place so that whether you live or you die, you can live together with him. Every temporal trial or disaster is so small compared to facing God's just, eternal judgment for our sin. But Jesus faced that in your place. Now you live in a manner worthy of that sacrifice. Jesus suffered the ultimate disaster in our place, in your place, so that you could live a life of fearless, joyful love. So disasters and accidents and trials will happen, but through Christ, let them call you to life, to remind you that the end is coming soon and to be ready for it. Jesus has given his life for you, and now Jesus wants to live his life through you. When you let him do that, when you invite him to do that, you'll have cause to rejoice when you do stand before God. So Jude 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand before his presence with great, blameless and with great joy, to him be all glory and dominion and honor and power forever and ever. In conclusion, never presume to know why what happens to others doesn't happen to you. Now, God knows the secrets of his providence, and we don't. But do live each day so that if it were your last, you'd have no reason to regret. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, you may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." So abide, live your life in connection with Jesus, and you'll be prepared to face him with confidence. Abide in him, it says. That means staying occupied with Jesus Christ. It means letting the music of the good news of Jesus play loudly and often in your heart so that you're shaped by it and propelled by it and lifted by it and ready to share it with others. So in light of Christ rescuing you from the greatest disaster of all and giving you eternal hope, live a life of fearless, sacrificial love. You spend your life enjoying God and caring for people with a fearless, joyful love. When you hear of disaster, then pray for those involved. Pray for those close to the victims, that God would give his comfort, that he'd reveal himself, that he'd give them true faith and repentance through it, that he'd awaken them. And at the same time, let it remind you that this could be your last day. So be ready. This world is a dangerous, unpredictable place. Someday, there'll be a new world with no more disaster or tragedy. And we have that through Christ. But in the meantime, we have a hope that this world desperately needs. So may we live fully awake, and may we live in a manner worthy of that hope. Amen. Yes, Lord, help us take Jesus' words to heart, to be awakened and reminded again and again that our life is uncertain, but we want to live in a manner worthy of you, Lord. Help us today to turn from whatever we need to put our eyes on you freshly, to give ourselves to you freshly, so that when we see Jesus, when we stand before you, we can give thanks and praise for your grace in our lives, that we lived in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus. Amen.